Welcome, folks. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, here with host Margot Hammond and the most incredible writer in our world, Randy Wayne White. Welcome, Randy.
Nanette, you are too, too kind, and I'm amazed you can say my name. It got me into the Elmer Fudd Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, there's two things I know about Randy that none of you know, or maybe some of you know. One is that he's a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
And the second thing is that in your spare time, you dabble in marine research.
Well, necessarily as a writer, as I think I've told you before, one of the great benefits of being a writer, it's a great excuse to do nothing but sit around and research subjects of interest. So I do a lot of that, yeah.
I love that. Well, I'm going to turn the interview over to Margo, who is going to talk to you about your newest book. Randy, before we start, how long did this book, just out of curiosity, last time we talked, I think this was in progress, but it was pretty quick that it came to publishing.
Well, we had my wife and I stayed on Sanibel Island during the hurricane of 2022, not recommended. But what an incredible opportunity to make observations, to really try to get it right. What is it like to be on a barrier island during a Category 5 hurricane? Not pleasant, I assure you, and not recommended. So I spent the aftermath months because we had been we were without a home, as were thousands of others on the barrier islands. I spent the months, 7 days of work, working on a novel called One Deadly Eye, a Doc Ford novel, much to do with what we experienced during that storm. And during the chaos, during all the upset dealings with insurance companies, which we have almost all been through, by the way, I'm not whining, it really kept my life orderly. So I published One Deadly Eye and immediately went to work on the sequel, which is Tomlinson's Wake.
And Tomlinson, we're going to turn this over to Margo because I'm sure she has so many questions. Tomlinson, last we checked, is nowhere to be found. Margo, over to you.
Hi, Randy. Nice to talk to you again.
Margo, delightful. As you know, I'm a huge fan of the Dolly Museum. Congratulations on all the great work you do there.
That's great. Thank you. So, yes, as Nanette said, it seems like yesterday we talked about One Deadly Eye, and suddenly, and I checked this on social media, I saw this post that you made, and it said this was about 9 months ago. And here's what you said: working late all night on the new Doc Ford novel, Tomlinson's Wake. On breaks, lots of snook off my stock around the green light. And then you had a wonderful picture of a green light. A little bit Fitzgerald, I think, you know, the green light that you're aiming for. So I read this, and then there was one of your fans or one of your followers said, please, please don't do anything. Don't do anything to Tomlinson, because she knew that you were. She obviously, like me, read One Deadly Eye, and at the end, Tomlinson disappears.
And a sailboat takes off.
Yes. So of course, we're all on pins and needles. You know what's going to happen to our beloved Tomlinson? Because this is. Tell me if I have the count right. This is the 28th Doc.
It is the 28th.
Okay. Good. All right. So I'm on schedule here. So, of course, I thought, oh, no, that title, Tomlinson's Wake, does that mean? And then I realized that you're a wordsmith, and all words that you use have double meanings. And, of course, the word wake has a lot of meanings. And
it does indeed have multiple meanings.
And you were very clever to...
Not accidental.
You were clever to... I did finish your novel. I want you to know I read it. I got an advance copy, and it's coming out in August. So I'm sure your fans will be eager to know what does happen to Tomlinson. And I don't want to give away the plot, of course, but I don't think it's giving away the plot to say that Tomlinson dies in the beginning. Well, at least that's what Tomlinson tells us. So, of course, since Tomlinson tells us that, we kind of suspect he didn't really die.
Well, we hope he didn't, but maybe he did.
But maybe he did. He claims
the book to find out.
Yes, he claims that he died. So, of course, I don't think I've ever started a book where the main character tells us he's dead, and you have to read the book to find out if he's telling you the truth. So, I guess that was one of my first questions: is just how fast did you turn this novel around? That was 9 months ago when you were working every night on the new Doc Ford novel. So when did you finally hand it into the publisher?
It would have been May. It would have been May. And I worked on Tomlinson's Wake 7 nights a week, without exception, for, 6 or 7 months.
That is...
stayed up all night. That
quite means amazing. That is quite amazing.
No drinking, no interruptions of any type. Margot, I love working. My writing schedule is usually between 10 p.m. and 10 a.m. I love those.
Oh, my gosh. That's very inspiring.
Hours without interruption.
That's very inspiring. Now, I want to mention the fact that, just up front here, that you're going to be going on a book tour with this book, and that happily you're going to be here in St. Petersburg at Tombolo Books on August 25th.
Absolutely.
At 7 p.m., which happens to be my anniversary with my husband.
Well, so congratulations.
Maybe I can convince him to come, and we'll come buy a book. And then you will be at Macintosh Books and Paper at August 26th. 6:30, August 27th at Copperfish Books. Where's Copperfish Books?
Honey Gordon. It's a wonderful store. And the people there do a fabulous job there.
And then...
I'm such a big fan of the independent bookstores. It takes such resolve, such courage, and not just the owners, but also the clients. The clients of independent bookstores tend to be quite devoted.
Quite devoted. So happy to hear that.
We
need that kind of push in these day and age
with
bookselling. And then finally, on August 28th, you're going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Fort Myers. In case people here miss you at Tombolo Books, they have to go down to Fort Myers to see you. So I just wanted to get that book tour in. And of course, for those who don't know who Randy Wayne White is, I'm interviewing him here. My name is Margot Hammond. And if you have never heard of the Doc Ford's Rum and Bar and Grill, that is named after his main character in one of his longest-running series, 28 books to date, the Doc Ford series. So I want to get into a little bit of the fact that, first of all, you know, after you put us through this hurricane in One Deadly Eye, you now bring us down to an earthquake in Mesoamerica. And I'm just curious on, you know, just are you disaster-prone, Randy? Are you... I mean, it's heart-thumping, really.
As I tell people, during a hurricane alert, where they say the hurricane is going to hit, wherever I am, do not go where I am, because I've got direct hits from three. I've tried to run away from one.
Oh, my gosh.
After the hurricane curve went right over the freaking house or the place I lease in Central Florida. So it really is a crapshoot, and...
So have you ever been in an earthquake in Honduras?
In Quintana Roo, which is a part of Mesoamerica, yes, some minor ones. But they have earthquakes there 3 or 4 times a week, minor.
Oh my gosh.
Don't realize that.
3 or 4 times a week?
Yes, yeah. I spent a great deal of time in Central and South America, particularly Central America. Cartagena, Colombia, Costa Rica. Colombia, of course, South America. Honduras, Tegucigalpa, one of the scariest landings in Central America.
Well, you put us through some heart-thumping scenes in this book. Now, what I want to bring out is, to talk to you about, is the relationship between Tomlinson and Doc Ford. Obviously, at the end of the novel, he actually gives up his relationship to go after his friend, to find his friend, and strains, let's say, his love relationship, Doc Ford, and which is... an interesting choice, and so he goes to look for Tomlinson, and in your book, one of the things I thought was very interesting is that we find out, and again, I don't want to give away any plot points, but we find out a lot more about Doc Ford.
So again, Margot, I missed that last part. We find out what?
We find out a lot about Doc Ford that you've always hinted at in the 27 novels, but this time, Tomlinson himself gets to see... another side, let's say, of Doc Ford.
And quite a chilling side of the good doctor, yes.
I'm curious, you know, about that relationship. And if you could just talk a little bit about how that relationship has developed over these 28 novels.
Well, an interesting question. When I began the books, I'd been a fishing guide at Tarpon Bay on Sanibel for more than 13 years. I did more than 3,000 charters. I was on the water, with rare exception, 300 days a year.
Wow.
And in 1987 or 88, I think it was, the federal government came to us at Tarpon Bay on Sanibel and told us that Tarpon Bay is now closed to powerboat traffic. Mm. 2 months' notice. I'm not qualified to do anything but drive big boats, frankly. But I've been working very hard at writing. Mm. I've gotten some big breaks with a wonderful magazine called Outside Magazine.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
Mm. Founded by the founder of Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. Some of the best writers in America wrote for Outside. And I began publishing there 3 or 4 times a year while I was a fishing guide. So I established my credentials as, a writer of some capabilities, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when the marina closed, I had 2 young sons, 8 and 10 years old, had a mortgage, and again, unqualified for any normal job. So I wrote a novel called Sanibel Flats, and I wanted it to be thrilling. I wanted to be interesting. I wanted to be historically accurate, accurate in terms of natural history. But I also wanted it to sell. I wanted it to be literate and literary.
Mm-hmm.
When that book came out, I doubt if they sold more than 300 or 400 copies, but it got incredible reviews. In fact, in the year 2000, the Independent International Mystery Bookseller Association chose it as one of the 100 favorite mysteries of the 20th century. That's quite an honor for a guy who came
well
out of
chosen.
College.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great book.
But I wanted 2 primary characters. One to be purely linear, mm-hmm. non-spiritual,
mm-hmm.
unempathetic, unsympathetic,
mm-hmm.
just a functioning linear brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's Doc Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the other character to be purely spiritual, intuitive, embracing religions of all type.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tomlinson, the unrepentant hipster.
Mm-hmm.
Margot, I think you've probably seen me, and I did not go through a hippie stage. However, I knew people, people who had.
Okay, that's my little follow-up question. Which of those characters do you relate to more, or are you a combination of the two?
Well, I think we're all a combination in that conflict between those 2 cerebral components,
mm-hmm.
the linear, non-sympathetic, the wistful, spiritual. In me, at least, they're always at war. And I thought between these 2 characters, I can say just about any darn thing I want,
mm-hmm.
and get away with. And I found the yin-yang ping-pong sensibilities interesting. And I thought if I can write more than one book regarding these 2 characters, I can follow all kinds of paths, not just in terms of history and natural science, but in terms of spirituality. And I don't get into that much in the books, hopefully not to the degree where they become darn boring.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
But you have that yin and yang. But this particular, this last novel, you brought it to a head, let's say.
Tomlinson finally sees who Doc Ford really is,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa,
really. That's true. Now, just I want to say this is Margo Hammond interviewing Randy Wayne White for Radio St. Pete, and we're talking about his latest novel, which is coming out in August, Tomlinson's Wake, which is coming on the heels of One Deadly Eye. Okay, so you've got these 2 characters, and you've pit them against each other in this novel. So, what's next? I mean, because at the end of this novel, I'm not really sure what their relationship is. But are you just teasing us again for the next book?
You know, I've never done that, not intentionally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Each book in my mind stands alone. People ask which book is my favorite. They're kind of like children.
Sure.
You might have a favorite. We're not going to admit it.
But certainly, One Deadly Eye, you have to admit, you left us hanging when Tomlinson disappears. So that you had
Absolutely.
To figure that you owed it to your readers to tell us what happened to Tomlinson. But now
we
have a situation where they have sort of met each other's, as you said, true selves. And so do you... Do you see yourself writing another Doc Ford?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm just starting it.
You're already starting it.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
If I don't write, Margot, I don't get paid. So, and I'm very shallow. You have no idea how shallow I am. But
deep down, you're shallow.
Tomlinson's Wake, I think, is interesting in terms of characters. it's fascinating in terms of the history of Mesoamerica, Honduras, the geography, the history. More than 60 million years ago, a meteorite hit in Quintana Roo near Campeche, near Honduras, that obliterated almost all land-based life on Earth, almost all of it. Mm. It changed everything.
And that just that figures very strongly in your novel.
Yeah, and metaphorically, the same thing happened to Tarpon Bay. Fictionally, I call it Dinkins Bay. Mm-hmm. It obliterated everything. Mm-hmm. And so one thinks, well, that's the end. Well, it's not the end. Mm-hmm. We are a vibrant, functioning, successful species. Not just us primates, but other species as well.
Yeah.
And,
well, and you also have this very interesting sort of, we never know whether we're supposed to believe it or not, but this reoccurrence of the Mayan king, or the reincarnation of a Mayan king, which is
I find that fascinating.
And do people, I mean, in that sense, did you play with it because people actually believe that, or that you just find it's something that you can, that worked well in your novel?
No. It's based on fact. Mm-hmm. It's based on fact. Mm-hmm. I found a little book called Kanek, C-A-N-E-K, Jacinto Kanek. Mm-hmm. In the early, mid-1700s, Jacinto Kanek rallied the indigenous people of Mesoamerica against the Spaniards in the Spanish-Mexican War.
And this is what your one-armed child seems to be embodying, or at least that's
exactly.
Yes,
but just
he
it's
is a fascinating character in his band of young people. You give a lot of agency to very, very young souls. I thought that was very interesting on your part.
Well, and I think they deserve it. Kids are a lot smarter than we think. And I, even as a poorly performing school student, I would read books for young adults, and I would ponder, how stupid does this writer really think we are? Mm-hmm. I found it quite troubling. But yeah, Jacinto Kanek was a real person, and he was voted or held and enshrined as the new king of the Maya. This is all true. Mid-1700s. And he led the indigenous people in a war against Spain and Mexico, and he died terribly, terribly. But absolutely devoted to his people.
But now you incorporate that in a child. But you also do children's books. I mean, I don't know if I would recommend this particular book for children because there's a lot of pretty mature scenes. let's talk a little bit about your middle grade series. For children. When's your next book out for kids?
I don't know if and when that will be. I did four in that series. I love them all.
Mm-hmm. How many are in that series?
Four books. Oh, four books and, mm-hmm. and no profanity, of course. I don't use much profanity in any of my books. Why? You know, it's simply exclamation points. It's absolutely without value.
There is no profanity in this, but there certainly are very mature scenes that children wouldn't quite understand. The dream sequence he has when he's hooks up with the evil woman.
Doc Ford, yeah. Thomason's Wake, I think I hope it's a thriller. I think it paces well, moves along. It's also one of the funniest books I've ever written. I mean, I wouldn't laugh out loud at some of the Thomason scenes.
I look forward to seeing you on your book tour here in St. Petersburg. So thank you so much for all your time to telling us about this. And I think you can reassure that woman that wrote on social media that you didn't eliminate Thomason, but that she should still be on pins and needles of what's going to happen to him
The primary character at Tarpon Bay Marina, Dinkins Bay, I call it. Mm-hmm. He does die during the hurricane 2022. Mm-hmm. But readers will have to read the book to find out who that was.
Okay.
And they held a wink. So
yes. And you do bring some of the Dinkins Bay characters down into into the area of this setting, so we get a good glimpse of Sanibel people. So that was, yes, I appreciated that too. Well, thank you so much, and good luck with your next 29th Doc Ford novel.
Thank you, Margo and Nanette. Good luck to you. Bye, okay. All.
Bye now.